How's it going, everyone? Good. All right, good. Just one quick note. If you have not signed up for a small group, I know it was in the announcements, it's a great way to get to know some people. And I know the girls groups, some of them have big signups. We added another Tuesday girls group at a different time. So if you're interested on Tuesday and you couldn't make it at the other one, please check that out. And the guys, you know what, guys? Be better at signing up. The girls are winning by a lot on small group signups. Not that that's a competition, but now it is a little bit, apparently. So if you're at all interested in getting to know a group of guys and growing deeper in your faith, I would highly recommend checking out one of those groups. So last week, we actually started a new series. It's called, technology. Sometimes it doesn't work and sometimes it does, and it's nice when it does. And we started this new series called Whose Crown? And the whole idea of the series is that we have the decision to make that if we want to give Jesus victory, give him the crown of various things in our life and our whole life, actually, or we can choose to hang on to it, which in effect is actually giving victory to the enemy. And today we're going to look at a very something that I think is all too common for us to really allow Satan to claim victory in our life, and that is things and money, material and wealth. We're going to be looking at the idea of how we give that over to God and why we should. So as most of you probably have heard this story, I'm just going to go over it briefly. But there's this story in the Bible called the rich young ruler. And Jesus is talking, and then this guy comes up and he says, "Hey, master, I don't know if he says I'm rich. He probably just looks like ballin'. I just imagine he has like all these jewels on." And he comes up and he says, "Hey, master, I'm following all the commands." And Jesus is like, "Oh, that's cool. That's good." And then he like talks to him for a bit. And then Jesus says, "Okay, are you willing to give up all of your possessions and all of your wealth to follow me?" And the man looks at him and then is like, "What about this gold chain? Can I keep it?" And then he starts thinking about all the things that he's accumulated and that he's inherited, and he walks away because he just can't bring it upon himself to give up that part of himself to Jesus. And today is not going to be about how you should have nothing and you should just wear like a potato sack. That's like an old school thing that people would wear, I think, sometimes. They're little kids. But it's not supposed to be, like, I'm not getting at that today. You're allowed to have things. You're allowed to have some nice things. But it's about understanding that we have to be willing to give it all over to Jesus. That we have to be the kind of people, and the Bible calls us to be believers, that are not won over by material and money, but that are won over by Jesus, and that understand a healthy relationship with our things and our money. So I started thinking about that guy, right? And I was like, oh man, talking to a bunch of college students, I'm sure there's a bunch of them that are like, "Well, I really don't have a lot. And actually, if you take my student debt, I have negative things. So I will willingly give it all over to Jesus." Right? And it's like, oh, when you only have, like, you're like, "My car is a piece of junk. Jesus can have it." But like, in reality, we don't have that much right now. We really don't have that many things, or most people, in college. And I started thinking about it, though, and then I was like, oh, but then, like, this is the time to start to orient your mind around these things. Because if we can start approaching life that everything I have is owned by Jesus, and that I want him to have victory in my life in that area, in every area, but today in that area we're talking about, then as you go out into the workforce and lose your student debt and start to get a house and who knows what, maybe a, like a boat, or like for me, a motorcycle. This is my motorcycle. It felt pretty cool riding it into the church. But This is my motorcycle, and like, it's probably my favorite like possession, if like a single possession I own. And it's one of the little more costly possessions I own as well. And I started thinking about the idea of giving my motorcycle to Jesus. And this isn't like a, now there's going to be a sweepstakes. But I started thinking the idea that like, whoa, I love my motorcycle. And it's a sweet way I can connect with Jesus, because going out and like being on the open road and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, if Jesus said to me, hey, quit motorcycling and give it away, you don't get any of it. You don't even get to keep the money. I have to be willing to say yes if I want to be all in on Jesus and I want to allow him to claim victory in my life. But Jesus hasn't said that yet, so thankfully he's still with me. And that's what we need to be willing to do with all of our stuff. It isn't about being like, I have to give it all over now because I love Jesus. It's about understanding where they lie and how we get to be stewards of our things and our money. And there's lots of times in the Bible where money isn't dealt with really that correctly by certain people. I thought of these were the first two that came to mind when I started thinking about this. And it was this one story from the Old Testament where Achan and steals when God tells them to go into this city, wipe them out, and not to take anything. And he's like, oh, let me get some of that gold and silver. And he puts it away and hides it. And then, like, God knows, and then they start to find him. And when I was in Sunday school, they didn't talk about, like, the killing part of the whole ordeal, I don't think. But they said Achan steals bacon, and meaning, like, money, I guess. And so that's a bad situation where money claimed victory over Achan, and it stalled the entire Israelite people. Like, there was like this, everyone was like, God's like, nope, something's wrong. You gotta find it. And then there's another instance in the New Testament in Acts when Ananias and Sapphira allow money to seep into their life and to be like, oh, money's nice, but it's really good to give. And it's like the trendy thing in the Christian world to be giving all of your stuff away and selling a land and giving all the money. Let's sell the land and say we gave all the money, and then we're going to keep half of it. And so in that instance, and they end up dying as well. So this is not a good track, right? Don't lie about your money. Don't take it when God doesn't tell you, when tells you not to. You're going to die. That's if we take that sample size of two. But what it tells us is that money is a problem. And it's one of the topics that comes up the most in the Bible. Is we have to understand that Jesus talks about money a bunch because he knows that people have a bunch of problems with money. That there's a lot of people, and I think our culture hasn't gotten any better. It's probably, like, potentially worse than in this situation, where we see things as all too important. That we always want to be one-upping someone. That we always want the next thing. And I can tell you, I have let that hold get into my life before lots of times. You like buy something and it has this feel good and it sits there for like 30 minutes. And then you're like, okay, what's my next big purchase? Or maybe you're like, what's my next little thing? What's my next thing to make me feel good with the, or like this next piece of clothing that I'm going to look a little extra pretty in, or handsome if you're a guy and don't prefer to call yourself pretty. Like we're constantly in our society being bombarded too in media and in movies and in all this stuff with like, hey, you need this new thing, you need this new thing, that you need the iPhone X. It's the best thing ever. And let me just tell everyone, glass back iPhone is back. I have an iPhone 4 still. So I just came back. The trend curves are a little shorter nowadays. It's not like, oh, 40 years from now, that'll be cool again. It's like, no, wait 6 years, and then your phone will still be awful, but it will look similar to the new one. But we always think we need the new phone, the latest and greatest, all these things, and they start to consume us. And I don't think when we're following Jesus, the consistent, the thing is that we end up being like, oh, I'm just going to allow this. That's not how it works, right? I'm going to allow material to just take me over, and that's okay. Sorry, Jesus. We start to let a little bit creep in, and then a little bit, and a little bit, and then before we know it, we're up researching like $20 items. This is me. Up researching $20 items for an hour and a half, and really, who cares how, like, if you got the very best potato peeler? We need to have a healthy relationship with our things. There's a parable in Luke that Jesus tells, and it's in Luke 12, 13 to 21, and it says this. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." And this beware and guard is like this, there's an attack coming, like having greed take over people's lives. It's like something we really need to be attentive to and be defending against is allowing all kinds of greeds to seep in. And this man comes because rabbis typically could make judgments on like estates if people thought it was unfair. And this guy doesn't plead any case. He just says, "Hey, Jesus, hey, tell my brother that he needs to give me some more of that inheritance." Jesus is like, "What? Don't bother me with this problem." And then he tells him this parable. So he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Okay. Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend," he talks in the third person to himself as my friend, "you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?" And Jesus says, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." In this story, the first time I read it over this week, I was like, "Oh, that sounds like a good idea. Build some bigger barns, hold the crops, it's smart." But what happens is this guy just says, "You know what, I'm gonna build these bigger barns, and then I'm gonna sit back and be like, look how rich I am. I'm so good, my life is easy. I'm just gonna sit back and relax." And what Jesus, and what when God says, "You fool," he doesn't hand that out lightly. He's saying, you're just worrying about storing up all these things on earth. And if you die tonight, you're not taking them with you. And do I think saving money is smart? Yes, of course. That's not what this parable is about. It's about this guy who wants to just hold on to as much stuff as he can, as he possibly can. He just wants to grab onto it. He wants to build bigger barns so that he can have more wealth, because corn or rice or whatever he would have had, he wouldn't have had either of those probably. They just equal money. His big stock of barley equals money. And he knows that. And we need to be people that are investing in rich relationships with God first. And then following God's will for our life, which could mean rich physical relationships. It could mean you get blessed with an awesome job or an inheritance, or you win some crazy money like at some contest. I have no idea. But what Jesus is getting at is that we need to invest first in our relationship with God. And then later on, he starts detailing about how God provides and how God has given over everything to the birds of the fields. And he says, "Don't worry about anything." And then it jumps in to this. And it says, and don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. And I've had seasons of my life and times of my life where I cared too much about money. And I was on the hermit side, like, never spend anything, don't do anything with it. And like, that's making money an idol. And that's allowing it to claim victory in my life. But I've also had times where I started to care too much about my things. And I started to let it consume my thoughts, and I started to let it be kind of just like all I was about. And even though I was putting on this is really good, like I was even a pastor, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's like, yeah, kids at my youth group, you should do this and this and that. And like, oh, and then once I went and was an assistant pastor, I was still allowing money to creep in and be a problem and my things to control me. And then I was away on a week intensive at my seminary, and I had this vision or a daydream where I was closing my eyes and I was praying, and I saw myself, which is kind of weird seeing yourself like zoomed out, right? And I was underwater, and I had just grabbed this big thick rope. And it was like one of those sailing ropes, you know, those like huge ones that you see at like a barge or something. I don't know anything about nautical terms. And I was holding on to this huge rope, and I was just like grabbing it with all my life. And I looked down, and there was a net. And it had in it like my, like a bunch of my favorite clothes I could see. And I remember seeing my TV, and it was like stuck up at the top, which like underwater it's busted. But at this point I was trying to save it. And then I saw my bicycle, and then I saw my motorcycle in it as well. And I was like, I am not losing this stuff. I remember having that thought. And then it started to drag me under. And I was under the water at this point, and none of me was above it. And then a hand reached down from the surface, and it grabbed my other arm. So I was being like pulled by both. And the tension was like, it was like when it feels like your arm sockets are gonna be pulled out playing like Red Rover or something. It was bad. And it was like all in my head because I'm having a vision or a daydream. And then I felt like, I heard God say, let go of it. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna let it go. And so I let go of all of my stuff, and I saw it sink, and then I got pulled up, and that was the end. I don't know the rest of the story. But what I do know is that arm was Jesus. And that I had gotten to this point where I had just let my things consume my thought life and my prayer life. And I was spending less time with God because I was so worried about my stuff. And in that moment, it was all too clear that I had to let it go. We have to be willing to let it go if we want to claim victory in Jesus. Paul talks in to Timothy in his letter to him, about money, and he talks about these horrible people who are doing really bad things to the church. And he says this, starting in verse chapter 6, verse 5. He says, "These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their back on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." It's the root of all kinds of evils. And all too many people, myself included, have let those things and that stuff, let the enemy trap me into thinking that those were so important, that those were so essential to my well-being and my life and my happiness, that I allowed them to control me, that I allowed them to drag me under, that I allowed them to be an illusionary source of joy. I know that things are cool, and it's fun to have money, and it's fun to spend it, but my challenge for you guys about this is that just to think when you go to spend. Think about your stuff. Think about the volume of stuff, and sometimes we need to get rid of some stuff. But also, think about the blessing of that thing. Think about how God has provided so much to us. A way that we can start to give it over to him is to understand, and I'm not saying every morning when you get dressed, pray about every article of clothing, but if that's what it's going to take, I would encourage it. If it's going to take something as drastic as every time you put on a sock, you thank God for that sock on your foot so that your foot could be warm. Even if that sounds silly, it's going to start to reorient your thinking about your things. And I think there's something really cool and really godly about making sure you know where it comes from. And I don't think it sounds too cheesy or too Christian to thank God after you've got something cool, to thank him for the blessing of something. But also, I don't think it's too cheesy or Christian to pray about buying something, especially when it's expensive. We need to be people who are willing to give this victory over to Jesus. If we can crown him with our material and our money now, it is crazy the ways you guys are going to see God work in your life and bless you in the future. It's crazy the way that God, if you can orient it now, is you're probably going to be able to see him working through you to bless other people because of your understanding of that it's God's. And when people come up to you and they need something, you're just there and willing to give it. That's the kind of believers that we want to be. And right now it might be buying someone a meal in the union. Or giving $5 to someone. Maybe right now it's something really little. But understanding that this has kingdom value and that you're making a kingdom investment in giving it over. And that your prayer life and your time in the Word is far more important and of way greater wealth and eternal wealth than any money or things will ever have, because you're not taking those barns, your stocks. I'm not taking this motorcycle with me to heaven if I die tomorrow. But what I am taking is myself. What we are taking by making an investment and giving Jesus victory over these things, you're gaining yourself the eternal victory. And you're winning a whole bunch of battles here on earth too. The enemy wants to seek and destroy. He wants these things to take you over. I don't know what it is, but if you need to let go of a rope today, of something that's holding on to you in your financial or your material possessions, give it over to him. If someone owes you money and it's just been getting at you, and it's like, and it's an affordable amount, forgive it. I know it's crazy, right? I've had several relationships and friendships in my life disappear because of tensions over people not paying me back. When I had a friend and it wasn't a ton of money, he didn't pay me back, and we haven't talked in quite a while. But also, like, I know the power of forgiving someone a debt. Of how immensely good it can feel to be like, hey, remember about that money? Like, I forgive you. It is, the weight of it is like, you're like, oh, the enemy was working there. It's not just $100 or $1,000. It's like the enemy is wedged in between relationships that God wants to use you to build up each other or build up that other person or to love on that person if they don't know him. And the enemy will take a $10 debt and just make a divide that $1 million bridge couldn't fix. Give the victory over to Jesus. Let him be the ruler and the controller and the victor over your stuff. And it's crazy how he's going to work in your life and how you're going to relate to him and to others, and to love more fully.